Hi, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm John.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Shirley.
Welcome to the Nerds Domain Podcast. This episode is our first Nerds Domain on the Criterion Collection. In these episodes, we will take a look at a movie we've chosen from the Criterion Collection and review it. What is the Criterion Collection, you ask? I asked that same question before I decided to start doing these. According to their website, it says, "The Criterion Collection is a continuing series of important classic and contemporary films on home video. Our editions often feature restored film transfers, commentary tracks, and other supplemental features that the company pioneered when it released its first laser discs, Citizen Kane and King Kong, at the end of 1984. Ever since, Criterion has been working closely with filmmakers and scholars to ensure that each film is presented as its maker would want it seen and published in an edition that will deepen the viewer's understanding and appreciation of the art of cinema."
So it's like a director's cut.
Sort of, but they add a little bit more like featurettes and that kind of stuff. It also, the film transfer is kind of important because especially older films, it gets fuzzed down through the ages. You know that if you have a VCR tape, you can actually play it out until it won't play anymore. Well, film works that same way too because it's all the same basic principle. So you don't want to, when you do that, you want to go back to an original that is clean and crisp and clear. So when we watched this movie, those were taken from some of the original film.
Okay.
So today, for our very first one, we've chosen Seven Samurai. A poor village under attack by bandits recruits seven unemployed samurai to help defend themselves. Directed by Akira Kurosawa and starring Toshiro Mifune and Takashi Shimada. I'm gonna stop right there and say, While we respect and love Japanese culture and everything that comes out of it, we do not speak Japanese.
Most of us.
Well, tentacles. You know what? Anyway, we don't speak Japanese. We will be attempting to pronounce these as phonetically as possible. We're going to not get it quite right. We apologize ahead of time, and we will do our best.
Yes.
This movie, in the Criterion edit, is 3.5 hours long. And was released in Japan in 1954. It was then released in 1960 in America with like a 2-hour and 7-minute edit.
Yes.
So, what did you guys think of the movie?
I liked it.
I liked it.
I liked it fastly becoming one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I've seen this story. I believe we're going to talk about it in all the other iterations that it's come out in. I've seen the story a lot. This is the first time I've gotten to see the original version of the story. And the film was really good.
And the idea behind this movie is Akira Kurosawa, who is a legendary filmmaker, made a lot of very important film technical advances as well as storytelling advances through directing. He wanted to tell a cowboy story. But to make it relevant to his audience, he had to tell it as samurai. So you have a samurai story that very much follows a cowboy motif that then they took and adapted to make The Magnificent Seven, which is a cowboy movie about a samurai movie about a cowboy movie.
So it's Westernception?
It's Western what?
Westernception.
What's Inception?
Inception with a Western.
I've never seen Inception, so sure, yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, anyway, he doesn't know the meaning of the word.
No.
And according to Wikipedia here, he was trying to do a movie about one day in the life of a samurai and then stumbled across a historical recording of a group of samurai defending a farming village like this one. And fell in love with that idea. So yeah, he may have been drawing on the idea of the cowboy Western movie initially, but he turned it into something seemed, at least from my perspective, wholly Japanese and original to their culture, and it was awesome.
You've seen this story before. I'm sure you have. The Magnificent Seven did it in 1964. It was a direct adaptation to the Western genre. And then other movies have done it as well, including Bug's Life, where it's loosely adapted.
Well, because this is a children's movie. Seven Samurai is not a children's movie.
Yeah, they've also done it for Star Wars Clone Wars. There's an episode there where they do something very similar. And then there's other movies, including an anime called Samurai 7, which, as Johnny will tell us here in a second, is a direct...
Oh, yeah. It's a direct port from the ancient samurai to a cyberpunk-ish story. They add an extra element with the emperor and the bandits, but other than that, it's almost a direct... I mean, it is a direct port of the story into a more modern telling.
And one of the things I found while researching this, because I did a little bit, is that... wow, I completely lost that. That's no good.
Moving on.
Man, what was that? Good
Lord. This is why we don't research things.
Or this is why we make notes.
We make notes that I'm looking at that don't have any notes. So 3.5 hours long. We watched this on Hulu Plus. We're going to be watching all of our Nerds Domain on the Criterion Collection movies on Hulu Plus because
as far as we know
for at least the foreseeable future, because those are where they're available for. I won't say free because we're paying for Hulu Plus, but relatively cheap. So this one we watched on Hulu Plus. There is a mid movie intermission, like 5 minutes that kind of breaks the movie in half. But other than that, it was a full 3.5 hours. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. When I was researching this, this was the second movie ever ported to American theaters from Japan. The first one being Rashomon, which is also an Akira Kurosawa movie.
It is?
I think so.
Huh. Well, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and you know how reliable that is. According to Wikipedia, Seven Samurai was actually his first film.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and...
you know what? Maybe it's the actors that were also in Rashomon. Maybe that was what I saw.
I'm looking now.
The main samurai, if I remember correctly, he was in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well...
Fair to say, Wikipedia also doesn't have this listed as a comedy, and it was clearly a comedy.
There were parts of it that were comedy, yes. So,
The same actor.
Kiko, or what's his name?
Yeah, here he is. This guy. The main samurai was in Rashomon, which was the first.
The old samurai?
Yeah, the leader.
Oh, it's in the poster, it's the drunk samurai.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
The comic relief.
Ah, yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, so... 1950
is Rashomon.
So, these were released... Wow, the comic relief was 35 or 34 when this movie came out. He seems a lot younger.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He seemed like early 20s.
Yeah.
And
maybe it was just the attitude.
Probably.
Yeah.
So they get seven samurai. Well, and I won't even say seven samurai, because they're seven warriors.
Yes.
The main character is they call him Ronin, because he has no lord, making him Ronin.
And he loses every battle he's ever been in.
Well, okay, we should probably start at the beginning.
Sure, let's go to the beginning.
So there's a small farming village out in the middle of nowhere, at least a day's ride to the nearest city. And one day a group of bandits, numbering about 40, rides by. And I forget if it was actually a named character who sees them.
I think it's
Yohi.
Rokikishi?
It was the coward, wasn't it?
It was the coward, Yohi.
Was it? Okay.
I believe.
That's okay.
He hears the bandits talking about how they're going to sack this town, and then one of the other guys is like, no, wait, we hit this town last fall. They've got nothing to take. And so then they're like, okay, well, we'll come back this fall, because it's spring when this movie opens up.
Yeah.
They say, okay, we'll come back in the fall when their crops do come in.
Yeah, it was barley.
Barley was the specific crop. Rice had been the year before. They'll come back when the barley comes in and sack the town at that point and take everything that they're worth. The villagers then, of course, get rather upset and go to their village elder, who comes up with a plan to go to the city or town, however you want to call it, and hire samurai to defend the village.
Yeah, four samurai.
Well,
four samurai.
He says four.
Hoping for ten.
Yeah, he hopes for ten, but he doesn't tell people that initially.
So they go to town, these two guys, or these three
four
guys.
Guys.
Four guys?
Was four, four guys went was to town. Okay. I know.
So the four villagers go to town to get four samurai and have absolutely no luck.
Well, they have no luck because they have nothing to pay them with.
Yeah, they're offering essentially to feed them with rice.
Yes.
Which I guess is a hot commodity.
For them, particular village, because they were only left with a very little bit to survive on. So they offer to eat millet, which I'm told it's a lesser grain. It's used as filler. When you start to run out of rice, you use millet to fill in to make your stew or soup last a little bit longer.
Right.
Has basically no nutritional value. Based on what we see in the movie, they keep talking about how millet doesn't have enough to support human life, and it's not good to eat just millet. So they offer the samurai all the rice they can eat. You know, they'll keep them fed if they'll come and defend their village.
Yeah.
So
they have no luck in town, and as they're leaving,
yes, on the last day when they're about to give up and go home, they witness a samurai rescue a child from a thief. The thief has taken the child hostage, is threatening to kill him, and has holed up in a storehouse of some sort. The samurai then shaves his head, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Shaves his head bald. Hair was a big indicator, the top knot specifically.
Well, and there was a lot of very specific hair choices in this. All of the men had the front of their head shaved.
In the except village.
The samurai. In the village.
All the peasants.
The samurai.
So, all the village. All peasants had their head shaved.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the front Valid. And top. To cut his top knot off and shave his head and put on monk's robes, he's doing a great dishonor to himself, but it's the only way he can perceive to get in and get close enough to the bandit to save the child.
Yeah.
He gets a couple of buns or rice balls, offers them to the bandit, and then using his quick, awesome samurai cat-like reflexes, kills him before he has a chance to hurt the child.
Yeah.
And saves the day and becomes a big old hero.
And this is the main samurai that we then meet.
His name is Kanbi. Kanbi.
And he's hired by the villagers to come help them.
Yes, he's approached by Rikichi.
Rikichi.
Yeah, who is the youngest of the four envoy and is the most hot-headed.
I really thought he'd have a larger part in the movie later
so
on.
So did I. I felt like at the beginning, with the way that he interacted with everybody, his part would start to become bigger as the movie went on.
Yeah, I mean, the coward technically had a larger building once the fighting started.
I disagree with that because
the
Rikishi went with them to the bandit's fort.
True.
And had that whole scene, which we'll get to as we discuss the plot. So, and then, but again, I've seen the story before in the anime. Samurai 7, that is Samurai the word with the number 7, if you're looking for it. Last I looked, it was on Netflix, the whole series to watch. Rikichi plays a huge part in that film, in that series, because in that series, it turns out the emperor is hiring the bandits to go be bandits. And rather than Rikichi's wife being captured by the bandits, she is actually taken as the emperor's wife and forced to sire an heir, to carry an heir for the emperor because he's all obsessed with having a proper heir.
So when you said this was a direct port, you mean it's loose port?
No. It's a direct port, except they add the element of the emperor is actually behind the bandit raids. So they expand on it a little bit. But the character names are all the same. Their attitudes and their origins are all the same. The woodchopper samurai, chops wood in when he's met in this movie or in this anime series. His everything is. He even says the line, he's of the wood chopping school, and mm-hmm. his first tactic in any battle is to run away, because once he gets started killing men, he can't be stopped. So he runs away first so that he never has to kill anybody. And it's great characterization in the anime and the movie. I love that character. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Also, unfortunately, the first to die. But and I don't remember in the anime if that order is kept. Pretty sure it is, but I'm not positive. They also make the great samurai evil in the beginning, but he turns and becomes a good guy pretty quickly. So,
okay. So
small differences.
So they find this samurai, and they eventually find six others. One of them is used to be pretending to be a merchant, or is a merchant now.
Which
the one they call the merchant at the very beginning when they're recruiting.
The spear guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, his old buddy. And his old army buddy.
Yeah. And then there was another one that was a wood chopper. He was just chopping some wood.
Well, he's a samurai, and he's got no lord, so he makes money by chopping wood.
And while I'm not positive that I'm correct in this, I believe that any samurai that doesn't have a lord is considered a ronin. Is that correct? Does that sound right?
I think so. That's the way I
understand it. Again.
Actually, the movie is like five ronin and two other guys.
I'm not sure that there is a direct... Like, a ronin would be... there's really no modern equivalent.
Yeah.
You're still a samurai.
Yeah.
But the title ronin means you're for hire. You know, somebody could get your services if they, you know,
provided
the proper incentive. In this case, rice. Or
hire hungry samurai.
Need.
And then they find another samurai who is an expert swordsman, probably the best of the group.
Yes.
And they find him by practice duel with wooden swords?
Yes.
And after this samurai beats the other guy, he refuses defeat and pulls his regular sword.
So the great samurai. Wins. Well, it's hard to tell from the way they shot it, because they both hit each other. He claims he won. The other guy refuses to accept that. So they pull steel, and the great samurai proves that he did win because he kills the other guy.
Yep. And then they. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5, right?
Let's see. You mentioned the main guy who imitates mm-hmm. the monk.
Can't
Army
be.
Buddy. Yeah, can be.
Go, Army buddy is Gorobi.
Yeah.
Then
the woodcutter.
The woodcutter. Great samurai.
Which is Kaizo.
Oh, yeah. And then the kid. The kid, which...
Katsushiro.
Yeah, the apprentice.
Yeah. Apprentice.
So the main character or the head character is being followed around by these two younger samurai. The fool is also in there. And they're trying to take him on as a mentor to be trained properly. He eventually accepts the kid, but refuses to accept the fool because he's a fool.
Yes.
And then there's the seventh one. Who's the seventh?
No, that's it.
Was it?
Can be the kid, army buddy, wood chopper, great samurai,
the fool. Yeah, we're missing one.
Cuckoo.
Okay, why did I? I'm just
the archer.
The archer.
Did we?
Yeah, we didn't say the archer.
So they pull these seven samurai and they go back to the village. And by the way, by this time, and I'm not trying to. This has been like 45 minutes of the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 45 minutes for them to gather the seven samurai, which the movie's named about. And it just, for me, it seemed a long time. And you know what? It put tension there. I didn't realize this until later. It put tension there to show how important this was and how bad this had to feel for the villagers.
Right.
Because they didn't know that they were going to be able to eat later.
Yeah.
So
at one point, somebody breaks into the house they're staying in.
Oh yeah,
and steals all the rice they had promised to feed the samurai.
Yeah,
they're worried that the samurai are going to get up and leave because they don't have any more rice. So like there's all kinds of tension. It's resolved by the kid Kachiro. Kachiro is actually the son of a merchant. He's wealthy.
He's a merchant lord.
Yeah.
You have to be some sort of lord to be a samurai.
Right. So Kachiro is not a samurai when he starts, but it's his dream. So he abandons his family, takes whatever money he can get. And then he uses that. The only time we see the money is he uses it to gives it to the villagers so they can go buy more rice to feed the samurai. So yeah, he's
rice that was stolen.
Yeah.
I think the reason why, and I just realized this as you guys were talking and how you said it, the tension was starting to build within the movie. I think I realized that the reason why I liked the movie so much is because there was that so much of that story, so much of the emotion and the explanation of how how important each segment of the movie was and what it meant to each character in the movie. So, I didn't mind that it was 3 hours long because it just... It kept building upon, we didn't know from what was going to happen throughout the movie, but it just kept building on that story.
Yeah. And so they come back to the village, and they go to speak to the old man, the village elder, who is named Old Man in this movie. Yeah. Like, they call him Old Man 7 times. He has another name.
Yeah.
Gisaku?
Yeah, Gisaku.
Well, you're skipping one small part.
Oh, sure.
They get back to the village where they're supposed to be the big heroes, and the villagers are hiding from them.
They're afraid, terrified, and hiding their daughters. Going so far as making one of the guys is making his daughter look like a man so that the samurai can't defile her.
Yeah, but
for good reason.
Yeah, and that to me brought forward like, why would they do that if these people were helping them? But then they started telling the story of samurai really weren't very good people. They would go and they would rape and pillage and do the same thing that bandits did.
Their only other reaction with samurai also apparently was killing them, the ones that had lost the battle.
Right. Yeah. Going after them.
In my research for this podcast, and while I was watching Samurai 7, the anime, it's more in that movie. The bandits actually were composed of samurai who had lost their lord.
You kind of see that in the way that the first one is dressed.
Yeah.
The leader. Because he's wearing the typical samurai helmet.
Yeah.
And a couple of the other ones were like that, too.
The leader and a couple of his second commands, or lieutenants, whatever, may have been former samurai. A lot of the bandits are, villagers who have nowhere to go, and thus they fall in with the bad crowd and all that stuff. But, the bad guys are only separated from the good guys by the fact that the good guys stay good guys. It's a very delicate line to walk in this era of history, if I've learned anything from the internet.
That's the same thing that happened to the Fool's family also in the other villages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it should be noted that this movie takes place in the 1500s.
Yes.
So that is kind of important. If I remember correctly, the 1500s were becoming part of the harder parts of the samurai life style.
Yes, it was the emperor and the shogunate were on their way out, and the merchant families were becoming the more powerful political powers.
So it was a weird time for samurai, and that's why there were so many unemployed. And you see more samurai than just these seven.
Oh yeah, there's
that are
at
walking
least
through
20.
Town. Yeah, that they can't get they can't hire because they refuse to work for rice.
Or they're just jerks, or whatever.
So you move forward, and then you get into the town with the samurai, and you start to see them training people and helping them, and you get to start to learn the personalities of each samurai. There's
and
the one that
villagers.
I keep calling the fool, who has made all of these choices and acts very
Foolish?
Yeah, well, I'm not just foolish, but he's very boisterous and very full of himself and very pushy with the way he thinks things should be and oftentimes overreacts.
Yeah.
And yells at people a lot. He's just really... But in the end, his heart is in the right place.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really important.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite characters.
And he should be because it was... He was actually... They started, according to Wikipedia again, they started writing the script with the six samurai. And they were writing a story about six sober, well-to-do guys and how awesome they were and realized how boring it was. So they introduced this character of Kikuchiyo, the fool. Just to liven things up because
the story was boring. And you find out that he's not actually samurai.
Nope.
Because he's from a peasant family, you can't be.
Right.
On top of that, he's faking who he is so that he can become samurai.
Yes.
Which is clear because he's not 13 and that's what his birth certificate that he's showing everybody says. But he really does want to help and he does get the peasants riled up and ready to fight and he helps set up defenses and he does all the things he's supposed to and he does all the things to help.
I think as a character in the movie he was the most defined as the movie went on.
And he got
to know the motivation behind why he was doing what he was doing and it turns into very much a psychological thing for him because of the trauma and things that he witnessed and endured in his past. It created the person that he was and the character he turned out to be.
And he's also the character that you get to see that makes the mistakes.
Yeah.
There's a part farther in the movie, towards the end, where he decides to pump up his own pride and does some daring act where he goes and steals a musket, but because he left his post... He leaves a part of the camp undefended, and several villagers die because of it.
Mm-hmm. And so. A samurai.
And a samurai.
Were killed because of him. And real quick on the note of the muskets, this is early in the introduction of firearms to Japan. I'm not a gun nut, so I don't know the whole history of guns, but muskets in the 1500s in Japan are very rare. The bandit army of 40 has three.
And they're, even though they're not very accurate, they're super dangerous. Because right. Once you get hit, that's about it.
Yeah, you're dead. Yeah. Unless it's a flesh wound, you're dead. Because infection or,
A musket's known for breaking bones. And right. When you break a bone in the 1500s, you're about done.
Yeah.
You'll die from that. So it was really interesting to see this... to see the development of that too, that the muskets weren't a thing, but then they had these huge. Those bows were huge.
Yeah,
those things were huge. Well,
they were bigger than a person.
Well, no, they were taller than those samurai. They were probably another foot and a half or 2 feet taller than the samurai.
Those were made for shooting from horseback, so you got more power from a longer bow and get up on a horse. You're that much taller. So
they get to the camp and help set up the defenses, and that's
the
kind
village.
Of,
yeah,
and that's kind of the end of the first part.
Kind of. Well, I think I thought training went on in the second. But
it did, but they start the first part.
Yeah, they plan everything,
and the second part really becomes finishing up the training, planting the rice.
Yeah.
In the flooded field, they flooded a field so that they only had.
No, the rice doesn't get planted at the very end of the movie. They flooded a field and cut off three or four houses.
And then they planted stuff at the very beginning of the second half.
No, they didn't.
No, I don't remember planting.
They don't plant until the bandits are dead.
Okay, maybe you're right. So they flood the field, and then to really try and make it hard for the bandits to come in and
build fences with spears.
And the last hour and a half is really the fight, and it's a long drawn out fight. And again, it's slow.
No.
And it takes time.
But again, it's 40 bandits versus seven samurai and a handful of villagers.
Well, that's bigger than a handful. There was a lot of villagers.
Well, but yeah, willing to go out and do something.
Yeah.
The villagers are scared. They don't want to do it. But the seven samurai can't take out 40 guys by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we watched. So you watch them as they prepare, and they go and catch three scouts.
First
or
off.
They kill two scouts and they catch one.
Yes.
And they bring him back to question him, and the samurai catch him, and he's given up, and he's agreed to help them or agreed to answer questions, and he's asking for mercy. And the samurai, following their code, refuse to kill him. And the village who's employing them decide otherwise, and there's a clear moment of tension.
Yes.
And a clear moment of disappointment in the samurai because they can't stop it as their employers murder this guy because they want revenge on him.
Yeah.
The elderly woman who lost her
whole family.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts like a dampener on it, but the samurai find out from this guy where the camp is for the bandits and sneak in and catch the place on fire and then cut them down as they come out, which I thought was... It's funny that they were really willing to follow this code and not killing a prisoner. They're perfectly willing to burn people alive.
Right.
Well, yeah, but again, they were down, what, three guys? So it was 37 versus 3. Or four. So, I agree. The samurai, the code of honor thing, probably never really existed as hardcore as they play it up in the movies. And B, when your odds are 37-3, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Right, to get those numbers.
They never really intended to burn anybody either, did they?
They set it on fire.
Set it on fire so that they'll run out and we'll get them when they come out the door. Yeah.
And it was actually, what's the villager's name when it was decided? Rikichi's wife, in the film, instead of being captured by the Emperor, is captured by the bandits. And she's being... very badly treated, in every way a man could be badly, a woman could be badly mistreated by a man. She wakes up because of the fire and sort of just rolls over and smiles and accepts whatever fate will happen to her and the bandits.
Yeah.
So it takes several more minutes before anybody else realizes what is happening and causes the death of several people.
Yeah, right. And then as this battle, well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, the whole time from when they showed her robe at Rikichi's and they were like prodding him about, you should get a wife. I didn't understand why they didn't realize, like, with everything that the villagers would have told them that they had went through, that they wouldn't have realized that, she got captured by these guys.
Or at the very least, assume that she was dead.
Yeah, and then when they showed her in the burning building, I was like, oh, that's his wife. And she wandered out and saw him and then was terrified and went back in. I was like, what the heck's going on? And then I was like, oh, it's not the same culture as I would live. She's been dishonored by all these men, so she is going to go back in and have an honorable death.
Well, and this is, and that's what leads, that battle was what leads to the first samurai death.
Rikichi kills the first samurai, doesn't he?
They get into a scuffle because he wants to go in after her.
And
the samurai keeps pulling him back, and he accidentally stabs that samurai in the gut, and he dies.
And he died.
I thought he got shot by one of the muskets.
No.
Rikichi kills the woodcutter.
And when he gets pulled back, the sword stabs him. And he bleeds out.
Yeah, the fool just about kills him at that point right there.
And I will say, this movie was made in 1954. There is absolutely no blood, so I'm assuming he bleeds out.
Right.
Yeah.
But he dies.
Well, basically, in this movie, you get hit by a katana, you're dead.
Yeah. and by hit by the katana, they mean... It looks like you might have possibly gotten hit by katana. It might have swiped the area next to you, but you fall over dead.
The fool clearly stabs the ground a foot away from a guy one time, and the guy dies.
Yeah.
So it's like, I threaten you with a katana, you're dead.
Well, his katana was huge, though.
It was.
Yeah.
But the first samurai passes in the first battle, which I thought was dangerous, because God knows how many samurai we're going to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
That was, so we lose the first one there, and they run back to prepare the village for the coming attack, where they count, what, 33?
I think so.
I think it was...
We forgot the banner.
The woodcutter.
Because when they come back, they're like, oh. So they make a banner, and there's six circles, a triangle, and then the symbol for the village.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, what's this? And the triangle was for the leader of the samurai.
No, it was for the fool.
Was it?
Because at this point, he has made his reveal that he was a villager.
Oh, okay.
And so he gets... they explain this more in the anime. He gets lines from the kanji, and they turn it into the geometric shape. So it's a blending of the geometric shape of the circle with the lines of the kanji, and it becomes a triangle.
Oh, okay.
So he is a villager and a samurai.
Oh, okay. Well, that I thought it was a triangle because they were setting apart their leader.
No.
So he gets a triangle in six circles, and it's really pretty.
I like it in its simplicity.
And I was talking to Shirley, if we do any cosplay and I ever decide to dress as a samurai, I want that as my banner because I think it's amazing. But the woodcutter dies,
yes,
and he's gone. And they run back and they count 33 bandits. And then for the rest of the movie, probably an hour and 15, they slowly pick off these bandits one at a time.
You probably say this is cliche because, again, this is in the 1950s when this happened, and it was the first time we saw this kind of thing. They literally let bandits on horseback, one or two at a time, get in the village, and then the villagers at the front of the at the north gate jump out with spears and block any more bandits on horseback from getting inside the village. So then the 15 to 20 guys inside the village hack one or two bandits apart. And, you know, they, again, whittle their numbers down one by one. But, you know.
Yeah, and it's, I swear they killed more people than they counted. But, you know.
Well, it's hard to.
I tried to keep track. And I was so sure towards the end it was going to be off, but it came up just about even for me.
Did it?
Yeah.
Did it? Okay.
Because remember, the bamboo spears were not katanas. If you got touched by a bamboo spear, it was an instant death.
Yeah, because they had to stab one. Like, they would gather around seven or eight at a time once a guy was down and stab him with the bamboo spears. So so they fight these battle after battle, and they use some tactics that work for a while, which I'm not sure why they work for the while. For the first time that I get charged into the town and get closed off from the rest of my friends, that would be the last time the rest of my friends would try that. But they did it, like, four times.
They did, yeah. But again, what were their other options? They only have three muskets.
That's true. and at one point, the super samurai, what's his name? The great swordsman.
It's Kaizo.
Yeah. He sneaks out and steals a musket under orders.
Yeah.
Or they say, somebody needs to go do it. He says, I'm going to do it. He sneaks out and comes back with a musket. And then what? Tells him that two more are gone.
And then he goes and just sits down like it's no big deal.
And takes a nap.
Yeah.
He goes down, sits down, and takes a nap because it's the middle of the night.
And the thing is, this is when Katsushiro, the youngest of the samurai,
the kid,
is like, oh my gosh, this guy is amazing. And he's talking to Kikuchiyo. The fool. And at that point in time... Kikuchiyo is just like, well, you know, I can be as great as this greatest samurai, and that's when he gets it in his head to challenge himself internally and go out and try to get that other musket.
Well, and that they wait a little bit on that, don't they, or does he do that?
Not too long.
But he's told to go to whatever side of the village he's supposed to be protecting,
where they have a wall. They've taken down a bridge and
flooded the fields, and he decides that he's going to go instead of be there, and puts one of the peasants in his place.
The cowardly peasant.
And I think that's important, but also what was important is that these samurai were the moral backbone, or not moral, the morale backbone of the group. So once the samurai was gone, the fighting quit because there was no one there to inspire them to fight.
Well, I disagree with quit. They just weren't good. Because he doesn't the Yohi, the cowardly villager, die in that fight?
Yes, at the end of it.
So basically when the fool comes back with his gun, which it was kind of an awesome scene because he sneaks up, he knocks one guy out, takes a part of his armor.
Takes all of his armor.
Wraps a sleeve around his head to look more like a bandit.
Mm-hmm.
Sits down next to the bandit, and the bandit's like, "Man, this job sucks." And then all of a sudden, he realizes, "Crap, I'm sitting next to a samurai."
The problem I had with that is that it took way too long for the samurai there to kill that guy because he sat there and he's like, "Hey, oh, you know I'm a samurai. You're gonna run. Why didn't he pull a sword then and kill him?" And that didn't make any sense to me. It took way too long. So he comes back with the musket,
the second musket.
The bandits have gotten in and killed some people.
Yeah.
And he feels
not
horrible.
Not in force, but a few have gotten in.
Yeah.
And he feels horrible and then whatever. But and they have two of the three muskets, so that's
and
really
then cool. And that's when...
The archer
dies.
Shot.
Yeah. Now, what I don't understand, and it might just be a part that I don't know about the Japanese culture.
I don't know.
But why halfway through the battle did the fool decide to stop wearing pants?
He put on the armor.
But he has to take his pants off.
Well, the thing is, several
it doesn't
of the...
Cover
only
legs.
Samurai
if
wear
you,
pants.
If you watched the bandits, several of them
didn't have pants on either.
They had the...
And slept half naked in piles, but
well,
we
no,
won't get into
what,
that. That was just
crazy. There were women
there were clothes pants.
Yes, and the thing is... you know, I understand that is part of their culture. Sumo wrestlers, they had the thing on, like, the
sumo wrestlers don't fight with katanas.
No, but the way that they wore the pants.
You notice that none of the samurai had any armor on whatsoever.
Because
after
I saw that, I was like, maybe it's part of a cultural fighting thing because I started watching the bandits, and most of the bandits that were on horseback didn't. They had that sumo wrestler type of whatever it's called.
Some of them
thong.
Some of them had greaves on, leggings covering the feet.
Yeah.
And
it just
and
doesn't
shins.
Seem like the pants he was wearing before would have constricted movement with armor.
No,
I don't know.
Again, I'm a little more into it than maybe everybody else at the table, but the samurai fighting style, if you recall, starts with arms over the head holding the sword.
Well, that's one style.
There are several styles. Right,
yeah.
But
yeah.
The traditional, again, based on what I've learned off the internet, TV, and all that, I'm not an expert. The majority of blows went to the upper body.
Yeah.
Attacking the legs was not part of how you fight.
Yeah.
I won't say dishonorable or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't the
plan. But you attacked the head, the shoulders, the arms, the torso. To go for the legs just wasn't part of the plan. Even when you hold the sword down behind you, it's to make a strong uppercut.
Yeah,
right.
And if you hit the legs, you're not hitting a vital organ, you're not hitting something that
attacked
you.
Because he could drop and then still make that powerful uppercut that takes you out.
Yeah.
Right?
So
so maybe that's it.
Maybe.
That's all I can come up with, though.
So we lose the archer in that, in this.
I believe so.
So there's two. And then they make the final assault. And this is taken, by the way, quite a while. I mean, has taken quite a while.
In the last 45 minutes of the movie.
No, we're in the last 20 minutes in the movie.
Oh.
I was
watching the time a little bit.
Yeah.
We were in the last 20 minutes of the movie when they had the final assault. And the bandit leader, and there's only like 13 guys left.
That's how they count. Yeah.
And five samurai.
Mm-hmm.
And the bandit leader gets in, and he gets
in. They let him in.
Yeah, so they can kill him. And he has a musket, and he hides in with the women.
Yep.
And then shoots the great samurai.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one shot and he dropped. Which that, in all fairness, I felt that one was more realistic because that was close enough. He could have made a good aim.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, that one was very surprising to me.
Yeah.
But it was also surprising to me because, I mean, and I know you and I had talked about this, Matt, but earlier in the movie, the samurai. It came in, like, they let two of them in, and all of the women swarmed out of the house with their picks and whatnot and attacked.
Yeah.
But then when this other samurai came, when the leader came in to their house, they all like back up against the wall
and
with,
freaked out like they were
going
to die.
With their his back to them, of course he's like paying attention. So I don't understand like what the mindset was in that shot.
Yeah.
I know that it was to like, okay, another samurai is going to die. I understand the thing, but they were strong enough to go out and...
Well, and he was the leader, though. And he was in armor.
He came in there instead of them coming out there also.
And he was armed with the musket, which is super deadly and scary. And it's that mob mentality. When they would rush a guy in the town square,
right,
they had the mob on their side.
And they are already armed. They weren't armed when he came in. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, potentially they had their tools.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
handy.
Did. They did have their tools.
Somebody could, they could have, five people could have swarmed in.
Yeah.
One of them might have died, and they would have killed him and ended the fight right there.
Right.
But it's that whole, I don't want to die.
Right.
So I am not going to lead the charge. You don't want to, so then the mob breaks down.
And they just cower in the corner.
Did you think the master samurai guy was going to survive the entire film? I thought the only way he was going to die was to get shot. And I didn't think
he
was...
The great samurai.
Great samurai guy who got shot in the back.
I didn't
think he was
going to
survive.
That was
very
surprising to me. When the shot rang out and he just fell, I was just like, "Why?" First of all, I didn't see that it was needed. Like, why all of a sudden did another samurai need to die?
He was this great samurai full of honor, and he died in the most dishonorable way. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody shot him literally in the back.
I can see that now that he says that.
So, I didn't expect that at all.
This is also quickly becomes how the fool dies, because the fool goes in to kill the leader of the bandits. Because
he's now given away his position. Yeah.
And he rescues the kid in the process, too.
He does. Basically. Oh, yeah. He does. And as he finally kills the leader, he dies himself.
Right.
Because the bandit leader has a katana and hits him.
Yeah. So this kind of ends the fight, too.
Yeah, and those two deaths, like, I was like, whoa, that was the most emotional part of the movie for me. Because I didn't even understand, like, why those two needed to happen with the strength and everything that had happened previously in the movie.
So we lose the last two samurai. So we only have... Well, the last two that are going to die. So we lose four of the seven samurai. The three left are the leader... The very young samurai.
The kid,
And then
his army buddy.
And his army buddy. And that's it. And they end the movie with the leader saying to his army buddy, "We didn't win this fight either."
Because he's not the leader has never won a fight.
Yeah. The peasants won this fight. And it's just it's almost a down note.
Yeah.
It is.
At the end. Because no matter how great they were in this battle, they still didn't get a win. For themselves. And it was really, it was kind of sad, and I was, it was a really solid ending, though. And it was one of those things where we were watching the time a little bit, and I forgot that all the credits were at the beginning, and it just stopped. It was done.
Yeah.
That was it. No credits, no nothing. And I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So.
We did skip a minor...
the underlying story.
Well, we skipped a
part. Oh, yeah, there's a huge part there, isn't there?
The love interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the coward villager has a daughter who's a teenager.
No, it's Monzo.
It is Monzo.
Yeah. I thought it was the coward.
It's not.
I did too, but then
there's a villager named Monzo who all the samurai kind of like.
Right there.
Yeah, all the samurai kind of like, and they get to know and. They're friendly with him.
Because he's one of the four that goes
that
to the
goes
city.
Yeah, but he was
yeah.
the one who went to the village stating that they needed to be careful about him in the first place. Well,
yeah.
He was always worried about his daughters.
So he
virtue.
Comes back when he realizes that they're going to get samurai. And this is very early in the movie.
Yeah.
And cuts her hair off so she can look like a boy and beats her. I mean, he's pretty rough with her. And tells her that she's going to be a boy. And when the samurai finally get to the village, the youngest...
The kid
ends up looking through the woods and runs into this woman, and they
who
looks like a guy, and they begin a romance.
He sees through the costume, real quick.
He feels through the costume.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because he's like, you should be training.
Yeah, he said, you should be training. And he's like, well, why aren't you training? And they wrestle around or something. Yeah. And Matt said her shirt popped open and she skitters away.
I only saw that because she's like covering back up and retying. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about at least her shirt popping open, but that's the impression.
The top layer may have opened, but she's still clothed because nudity was not a thing. Male butt was apparently okay, but nudity was... Yeah, we got to see a lot of that. Anyway, he cops a feel on accident during the wrestling match.
And freaks out
because he was expecting a boy, and it's a girl, and, you know, whatever. So
he just needs a lot more training. He's obviously out of shape.
Yeah. So then he realizes what's going on. There's one point where the girl... it loses all hope, and in the middle of the fight, I think one or two of the samurai are dead.
Well, it's right before the last attack.
Is it?
Right.
Because she loses all hope because she's convinced that the bandit's last attack is going to kill them all.
Right. Yes. So like she yells at the kid, be a real samurai, which is another point that throws the villager samurai... relationship of the whole country into focus, because again the samurai are expected to come in and take advantage of the women and the girls in the village, and what she's saying when she says be a real samurai is essentially
rape me.
I mean, take me, do whatever you want with me, be a real man. Not because she wants him to be her lover, but because she's going to die, he might as well live up to what she was going to die.
Well, though. They were googly eyeing each other.
Yeah,
for
but she said that she's twice giving up hope. To him.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think it's that she gave up hope. I think that.
Oh no! I'm talking about that scene.
Right. That scene.
She had given up hope.
It's very emotionally intense. But if you watch it, she manipulates the loss of hope so that she can be close to him and intimate with him.
See, I didn't take it that way.
No, I can see what she's saying because she wanted that safety.
Yes.
And he was there and he was
because
a samurai. And
she had said
that
to him before and she was like, you know, why aren't you a samurai, you know, or don't be a coward anymore. You should be a real samurai. And then that's when he ran away the first time when they had the first argument. And then then she comes back into this more intense situation where everybody could die the next day. And she says the same exact thing.
Right.
So she's using the emotionally intense situation, I felt like, to manipulate the situation so she could be with him.
See, I only remember it happening once. Jesse, do you remember it happening twice?
They were in the forest.
Yeah.
The first time she kind of hints around at it a little bit. And this time she basically gets him to state even that there's no hope in winning this fight. Because he says during that scene that there's very little chance of winning.
Yeah. But in the end of that scene, he does not give in to her demands.
He doesn't?
No. Not even when she's crying.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly positive.
They were rolling in some hay, weren't they?
Yeah, they leave it up to our imaginations, but it's pretty implied.
It's later. They have after things have calmed down, right?
No.
Okay, so this is the problem. They watched the movie more in line. I have a 4-year-old daughter. I got to watch half an hour, 20 minutes at a time. So this took me a lot longer to watch.
How do you watch a half an hour, 20 minutes? You can't stuff a half an hour into 20 minutes.
Yeah, you can.
It's 20 possible. Minutes to half an hour at a time.
Oh, okay.
Half an hour to 20 minutes at a time.
At that scene when they go directly from that, they're rolling in the hay.
See, I thought they went, they got emotions calmed down.
No, they were rolling in the hay and they cut outside and he's leaving.
Right.
There's a short scene between them. Between that, and then he's leaving and covering up.
And he's all smiles
because that's what you do.
But at the same time, okay, what about once the act finally happens, though? I was under the impression it was more of a romantic encounter
It was. Yeah, you're right. It was.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm...
But at the same time, you can't do that. He completely destroyed her life because...
Yeah.
Because he did that.
And
so,
because he wouldn't take her as a wife.
Well, in theory, he couldn't.
Because she was a peasant.
He could have. He's a merchant. He could have. But
that's why I guess I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
Because they're standing there at the end looking at one another. She turns around and starts to go back to planting rice. And he's standing there just looking at her and looking at her. And I'm like, dude, you know, I don't understand. Yeah. Except for being a samurai, I totally get that between not being with a peasant. But he wasn't. Like, fully a samurai.
That's what I thought it was with the whole ending of the peasants were the winners, not us. Mm-hmm. The peasants, he turned, not necessarily against him, but they turned their back on him. They no longer had a use for him. Even the woman didn't have a use for the young man anymore. It was over. It was time for them to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but the emotion that's between both of them when they pass each other,
yeah
but you in can the films, tell the woman that didn't have as much like emotion a Romeo and Juliet type
well,
of thing.
I see, yeah, the way I read it was, he looked at her and is like, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
and right. Are we going to go off and get married now? And she's like, no, I got shit to do over here.
Yeah.
And he gets dumped in the end. Like at that point, he's like, yeah. I will give up my dream to be a samurai to marry you, you know, to be your husband. And she's like, nope, I'm over here. And
wow, you guys assume too much.
That's how I read that glance.
There was some rejection from her. I don't know if it was exactly that.
She physically turns her back on him while he is still looking.
And then starts singing at the top of her lungs.
I would also say that dishonor. I'd also say it was part of the dishonor that she was so ashamed of what she did, she couldn't live with that shame over and over again.
Maybe.
Right.
Because remember, honor in the Japanese culture is a lot heavier, especially in the 1500s than it is here.
But are you agreeing that at least his intent was like, yes, we can be married, you know,
or something more than just this one time.
About
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
he did
she's
want more
like,
something.
Yeah, and then she just totally tells him. Hey. Well, but yeah, he basically says, I will have you. Will you have me? And she goes, no. And turns her back on him and goes, sings the top of her lungs.
I don't think it's an option for her.
I thought it was an option.
See, I thought it was. Because,
well,
again, he's a merchant.
But
not
but at the same time, if she does it, she loses her family.
Right.
Yeah.
So that may not be an option for
her.
She had already lost her family. The father said she was dead to him.
Yeah.
Was Manzo actually dead, though? Or was he just...
Ooh, did Manzo die?
Well, I don't know.
No,
did Manzo?
No, I don't know. Think he did.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I love how Manzo is the only one we should be able to pronounce. We're pronouncing it two different ways. Manzo and Manzo. I think we covered most everything in the movie, right? So what do you guys think? Well, let's give it a star rating. So Johnny,
come back
out of five. Okay, so Shirley, out of five.
I would give it a five. Like, it's... Okay.
What is your other five movie? I'm going to do this every time now. What is your name another five movie?
Not the same one. Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
Which one is that?
The one about Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, Kate Blanchett. That's the one.
Jesse.
I give it 5 out of 5. It's in my top 10.
Okay. Yeah. And give me a comparison movie.
Gross Point Blank.
Oh, I haven't seen that
one
yet.
I haven't seen that one either. Okay, fine. So, Johnny, back to you.
Okay, so I have a problem with old films. I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. I'll admit it. I know it's a problem. I can't get into old films. That being said, I really enjoyed watching this movie. I'm going to go back and watch it again, or at least jump to the parts I want to see specifically.
Or check out the American edit.
Possibly that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good... I like that idea.
Yeah. So, can we go in between?
Sure. You can give me halves.
Okay.
You can give me 0.8 or whatever.
I don't know. Then 4.8.
Okay.
Because it is an awesome story. It's the original. It's told very well. It's good. So, everybody should check it out, especially if you consider yourself a film nut.
Right.
I'm gonna give it
old film that
I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. Yeah, go ahead. No,
why?
It's exceptionally slow. It doesn't meet my current expectations.
Also, a child of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. It's exceptionally slow. I don't care for subtitles. I think there's a loss
subtitles.
There. I think there's a huge loss in the translation. when the subtitles come up. Supposedly, and I think that there's a lot that I miss because of that.
Well, yeah, because you have to read, you're missing some action on the screen.
Definitely.
But I've been told by film majors, I put that in air quotes, that I went to college with, where subtitles give you a better translation of the actual dialogue because you're not trying to squeeze all those words into
the movie.
Well, no, it wasn't. I'm not saying that it's the only way to go. I'm just saying it's a way to go.
Okay, so I'm going to finish my reasoning. I also don't understand the culture, which makes it harder for me to understand certain points of the film.
Sure.
Which lowers it a little bit. And honestly, that one's like a 0.1 out of the whole thing.
And that's his own... And I won't say prejudice. That's not the right word.
That's my own view. I view that in a lot of ways. This one isn't as heavy as some anime where I don't get anything that's going on.
Anime is based on this movie or movies like it. I mean,
I don't think this had everything. Moon was too based on this.
I'm not sure how Ghost in the Shell is based on this, but sure. Okay.
I'll make that argument sometime.
Vampire Hunter D?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
I give it a 4 out of 5. I honestly think it's something you should check out. I would suggest you watch it in two parts. You watch the first part and hit the intermission and stop. That's 1 hour and 45 minutes. Yeah. And that is a good viewing. And then go back and watch the second half. That's how Shirley and I watched it, because we watched it together. It's a good film. A four out of five is like
still good.
A good movie. We're talking like a good movie. So a 5 in this instance for me would have been like Independence Day, which I think.
Wow. Hey, I got no problem with Independence Day until they upload a virus to an alien computer, but that makes more sense
with the deleted scenes.
It does. Yes. I've never seen deleted scenes.
Okay, so I give it a 4. I really liked it. I did like it. It was slow. It felt drawn out, but now that I realize that was the intent, if that's what you intended to do, to tell the story in a certain way, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I would say that if you have Hulu Plus, check it out. If you don't have Hulu Plus and you run across it somewhere, I don't think you will, just randomly.
It's hard to find.
Yeah.
You can order it on eBay in a 3-disc set for $25 on Blu-ray. Not on eBay, on Amazon. I did check that out because I thought about it. I thought, you know, Shirley liked it. I liked it. $25 seems a little rough, though.
Yeah.
I would suggest that if you can get a hold of the American cut, I'm not sure how you would do that. You might check that out, too. That's going to be a shorter movie by far. Nearly half as long.
Yeah.
So, that would be my suggestion. Next time on Nerd's Domain on the Criterion
Collection,
we are watching Seventh Seal.
Ooh, is that the one where they do I have no idea.
It is also a black and white movie. Most of the movies we'll be watching on this are going to be black and white. I think only one in our first
can. It
looked
very interesting.
Seventh Gate, that's what I was thinking of. Our color.
Ninth Gate.
Yeah, some number.
So Seventh Seal.
Math.
The first 10 movies that we've got, almost all are black and white. Let me pull up that document real quick, and I can give you a rundown of what we're looking at watching. So it looks like... next will be Seventh Seal, and then we're watching the 1946 Beauty and the Beast, then Lord of the Flies, then number 5 is Modern Times. That's a Charlie Chaplin movie, supposed to be his pinnacle, like the best movie he put out. Then 39 Steps, The Blob, Stolen Kisses, The Sword of Doom. Can't go bad on a movie named Sword of Doom. And then Samurai Rebellion. I honestly think Sword of Doom is also a samurai-ish movie. So we're watching at least 3 samurai movies in this. So those are our first 10. We'll be recording these once a month or so, depending on how long it takes to watch a movie. Hopefully not a long one like this one. If you guys have any questions, comments, you can always email us at nerdsdomain@gmail.com. I am at Quiet on Twitter if you'd like to follow me. Johnny is at Fool's Mask. Shirley is at SNEDS70. That's with a Z.
Yeah,
and
I think I'm getting ready to change that.
Oh, well, then don't go there because she won't be there. And then Jesse is at...
J_Kimmett.
And you can always follow Nerds Domain at Nerds Domain. This is Matt, Johnny, Shirley, and Jesse, all hoping that you enjoyed our podcast.
Bye.